Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Good morning, Beth Ann, and happy National Harmonica Day.
Oh, is that what explains that music? Okay,
I get it.
Well, good morning and happy National Harmonica Day to you, too.
It's going to be a good one.
Well, we'll see about that. It's yet to unfold, but it has all the makings of a very good thing around here for day two of Challenge 2015. But for now, we're going to have a good conversation, we hope. Now, over the last month, the divide between supporters and opponents of the 30-meter telescope has grown deeper. The message from protesters, many of them young, is that building the project would continue to violate a sacred place. Let's try that again. Some also want all the current telescopes removed, but one group says there's more to the conversation than the polarized perspectives. Gahea is a community-based organization promoting the quality of life in Hawaii through cultural understanding and environmental justice. Shelley Munioka is joining us now from Kahea, and thank you for being here in the studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
There has been some criticism that we aren't really hearing a lot of clarity from both sides because this is such an emotional issue. What do you think it's being left out of the conversation that we're hearing, which seems to be so much drawn into polarized opposites?
I do want to say that I think the emotional issue, it's an important facet to understand because it's really what roots people and really where the commitment comes from. So, you know, not to understate the importance of those. I think the piece that's kind of been left out has really kind of been the well-documented history of UH and DLNR's failure to really protect Mauna Kea. So whether or not you see it as a sacred place or simply a special place, I think most people can agree that it deserves special protections, or at least that's what the law says, because it's classified as a conservation district. So there are special protections in place that have not been upheld. And I think that's the piece that's really kind of been missing.
Specifically, what hasn't been upheld?
So, for example, in order to build in a conservation district, you need to get a construction permit, and there's 8 criteria that must be met, and there's just simply no way that these projects could meet those. So, for example, you know that it can't cause substantial adverse harm to the natural and cultural resources of the area, but there's been previous studies that have that precise language, including the TMT's own environmental impact statement, that the cumulative impact of those telescopes has been significant, substantial, and adverse. So it kind of begs the question that how are we continuing to put more and more of these structures on that mountain? There's also, in terms of, poor management, it's been well documented. There's been audits, particularly the 1998 audit cited, you know, that historic preservation has been neglected, that the first 3 telescopes were built without any permits at all, that were given retroactively without any kind of fine or penalty, that there's been other instances of violations of unpermitted structures being put up, fines being levied and then never collected. There's been historic sites damaged, there's been recorded mercury spills. There's a lot of things that have happened on that mountain that have been well documented and kind of beg the question as to why UH is still continuing, allowed to have free reign on the mountain.
How do you answer that question?
I really don't know, and as we try and kind of crunch the numbers around the money, for instance, it's kind of baffling because UH pays $1 a year for their lease from DLNR, and then they sublease to other telescope operators, so these are countries and universities, for $1 a year, or in many cases for nothing at all, no money. And in exchange, they're getting telescope viewing time, which is, by some estimates, valued. We did one cost analysis at $80,000 a night is what they're charging to folks, not the university. So the university is getting that benefit of being able to use all these telescopes for free. So, as far as we can tell, that's the clear motive and benefit for UH. I don't really know why DLNR hasn't been better at enforcing the rules that are supposed to be upheld. I mean, they say, they're understaffed, they don't have enough money or resources to do the proper management. And so over the years, more and more of that management authority has been ceded to UH, which is really problematic because they're the primary developer of that mountain. I can't really speak to why, but only that that's been a long trend.
When you look at it from the perspective of the project itself, mm-hmm. I mean, just the TMT project, mm-hmm. according to the TMT Community Affairs Manager, they've been out in the community for 7 years, and mm-hmm. they're feeling very baffled that mm-hmm. they're just now getting this kind of reaction.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of that?
To me, the length of the process is not particularly significant, because all through those 7 years, there has been opposition. And it's well documented in all of the like kind of formal public hearings. There's plenty of testimony in opposition to the project. Not to disagree with the fact that suddenly there's a very different kind of opposition. And I think, you know, in terms of why we see that now, certainly the arrests were the point that kind of inflamed this, and I think people really seeing people's commitment to this issue and how much it means and matters to them, excited other people and inspired people to come out and show their commitment as well.
What do you think is different about the opposition now than what you say has been happening over 7 years?
So traditionally, the opposition has really been one in procedural and legal hearings. So really arguing and countering, every point put forth by UH and TMT, which, is no small feat. UH, has spent almost $4 million on this case alone. And these are, community folks that have consistently, come out that way. The opposition now, of course, they're using their bodies to stop the project. And I really think that it has gotten to this level now because TMT and UH are not honoring that this is still in a legal appeal, and they're moving forward. And so, we've begged the question, what happens if you start construction, you start excavating, and then the court finds in our favor, which has happened before? How are you going to restore the damage done? Wouldn't it be better to wait until the appeal is finished and then, can move forward, if so be it? But I think at this point, I don't think that's...
Because we should say that there's an appeal that's in court now.
There is. Mm-hmm.
And who knows what may happen
Correct.
After that. So you're saying the better part of this would be to wait and get a definitive decision rather than to keep moving ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to see what happens with it. We have to go for the moment. But Shelley, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Shelley Munioka is a lifelong resident of Haia, Oahu, and has a master's degree in social work. She's been following the Mauna Kea TMT issue since 2010, when she worked at Kahea as a community educator.